an 8-year contract.
Hydration breaks and half-time shows.
They forgot about the fans.
Football's changed, but every weekend, we take it back. Seven is the free weekly game recording first and last goal scorers could win you up to £100,000. It's football reclaimed. Seven. Download free on the App Store and Google Play.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Coffee. Look at you. It's yesterday's coffee. Cold mug of coffee I put in the fridge, and an Oikos.
Yesterday's coffee sounds like a John Prine song.
Yeah, it's got some air of like news you missed from last week.
What kind of protein shake you getting down on?
I got an Oikos.
Okay, I haven't tried that.
I'm reckoning it's great. I bought a couple cases when I first busted the leg.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when I'm completely incapacitated, I better get all the stuff you need for. When you're a strong bodybuilder. But I'm like, protein's important. I'm laying around, but yeah, if I don't shit my pants on air, that'll be a successful podcast today.
That's right. Little victories.
Cold black confidence.
Speaking of which, how's the leg?
I say, man, we're walking, baby.
Really?
I have a cane, which it's fun to gesture with a cane.
Yes. I wouldn't mind a cane without an injury, just as an accessory every now and then.
It's a bit of a pretentious accessory, but it's pretty, you know what? It's one of those, it's like when I see people on the motorized unicycles and they're dressed up like Power Rangers, how much fun you have doing the thing is inversely proportional to how stupid you look doing it. You'd look like a jagoff if you just had like a walking stick with like an eight ball on the top of it or a cool blown glass eyeball.
Yeah, but a little skull.
The amount of fun you'd have with it, you'd be like it made me understand. I project a lot and I judge a lot and I look at people. I'm like, look at this dickhead. But then when you've been like to a wedding or something or you got dressed up for an occasion, but then you went to a bar afterwards, but you're still in your suit. you feel a little different. Feels kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, nothing wrong with
that. Some people wake up and go, I could feel like that anyway. And they'll put on a silly outfit. And sometimes it's, look at me. And other times, this is my realization. Other times people are like, this makes me happy.
Yeah.
And I know I look stupid, but I'm happier. I'm more happy than I feel stupid. And I think that's what you like in the world, if it makes you happier than you would feel stupid doing it, then you should do those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good approach.
If that made any sense at all.
speaking of which, like have you ever entered that realm as far as like an accessory or an outfit or something where it's like, I know my buddies might give me shit about this, but I like it.
Well, it's more about the activity. Like, so much of my day is just, like, middle of the day, I'm, like, fucking off going to lunch with somebody. I'm not going to put on a silly outfit to go sit at a picnic table by some food carts or something. Mm-hmm. And then shows, I never wanted to, like, dress too much in a character.
Yeah.
Like, we dress according to our feeling, Even if you don't think it, you're like, oh, this is what I want to project about myself, is I'm this kind of... I'm an aging punk who still wears Dickies and Vans and all this stuff. And so
project about myself, but also this is what I feel comfortable in.
And also like I don't want like the act is the jokes and what I say. It's not the look. Mm-hmm. And so that's why sometimes even if I like Hawaiian shirts, like you like Hawaiian shirts. I don't give a shit about those bugaboo boys. They're not taking Hawaiian shirts. It is not an indicator of something else. Hawaiian shirts, you wear them. They're nice shirts. But it's not it's like a different vibe than I would want on stage. Like, I feel like I'm dressing like a party dude.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to wear them. Or, like, I got track suits. I got a couple of track suits. And I just don't know if I, like, being on stage, I feel like that's a character. But also, I've seen people that, I saw somebody that not, is not normally a tracksuit person. They wore it on stage, and it didn't distract at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe I
still like your, I still like your coveralls vibe or era.
I was in the van, so I had limited clothes in the van. The coveralls were fun, but then I'm like, oh, Chappelle does coveralls. A few people do coveralls. I'm like, oh, it's a.
Well, in your defense, you probably didn't have your name on the chest of yours.
No, they weren't branded.
So, I'm sorry, that's fucking lame. Sorry.
That's a different scene, man.
Mm-hmm.
It is like a band wearing their own merch, though, which is, we know it is a faux pas.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. So I got button-up shirts, which I'm never going to take on the road because I'm not going to iron a shirt in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I will. Why am I saying never? Maybe it's time to change it up. Iron a shirt.
Yeah, I used to do that. I used to do that until those shitty hotel irons screwed up a few of my shirts. I'm like, all right, I'm not doing this anymore.
Oh, yeah. People been... What, using them to get the ink off of checks for some fraud charge things?
Oh, man. Buddy, I got some news to report.
We got stuff going on in this episode.
Well, not news, you know, but...
Listen, if we call it news, it's news.
Two separate paranormal events happened this week. Now, granted, right. They're minor, but...
Let me grab
legit,
one of these
dude.
Black cats I have downstairs right now to hear about it. Come here, buddy.
Legit, dude. Like, this happened, all right? 2 days in a row. Let's see. One of them happened. What's today? We're recording on Tuesday. Yeah. Something happened Saturday, and something happened Sunday, back to back. All right.
Okay.
And again, kind of like the spoons, you know, hey, not fascinating in and of itself, but if you... Just please believe me that this actually happened. No drugs involved, no hyperbole, no exaggeration. Saturday afternoon, I'm in the kitchen making whatever, cooking up dinner. Katie's in the living room, and she goes, oh, my God. And I was like, what? You know, not just from the kitchen. I didn't even see it. She goes, my can just moved. She's all about the zero sugar 7-Up. So she drinks a zero,
okay.
Zero sugar 7-Up can.
This
she goes,
is
my can
house
just
product placement.
She goes, my can just moved. My 7-Up just moved. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course, I was skeptical. And sure enough, I come in and look at her. Like she's pointing at. She just got the can sitting on a little end table next to the couch.
Okay.
And the end table's perfectly flat. It's not sloped or anything. The fan wasn't on. Plus, the can was about half full, so it wasn't empty where, like, maybe a gust of wind could knock it over or something. It was just half full. I don't know what a half full can of soda weighs, but it's significant enough
Six
where you
ounces.
Couldn't just, yeah, you couldn't just sneeze on it and make it tip over. Anyway, so she's explaining to me that this, I swear to God, Dave, I'm not crazy, I'm not high, this can just moved about an inch to the right, and sure as she said that, I sat there and watched it do it twice. It moved an inch, stopped, and then moved again another inch. Not forward and backwards, but moved forward,
okay.
Stopped for a beat, and then it moved again.
Okay.
And we're both just sitting there in awe. Like, I have no explanation for that. And I'm telling you, it wasn't the ceiling fan. The windows weren't open. We had the air conditioning on because it was hot as shit. So all the windows were closed. The ceiling fans were not on. You know, the AC vent was nowhere near the can. The end table's not sloped, you know, or slanted. It happened to her. I didn't see the first one, but then I saw the second and third one. This all happened in the course of about 15, 20 seconds. And I just sat there with my own eyes. I have never, to my knowledge, I've never witnessed that. Whatever you call that, like, what would you call it? I mean, if someone makes that move, what is that, telekinesis?
I don't know. Did we check seismic activity? Any minor earthquakes?
I did not check seismic activity, but we also didn't feel shit. Nothing else moved.
Yeah.
There was other stuff on the end table. You know, pens, notepads, little what have yous. Nothing else moved. I mean, that's a good question, the seismic activity. But, yeah, we didn't feel anything.
Now, let me just go over, like, I'm going to add, like, okay, what about 7-Up, a notoriously carbonated beverage? Yeah. Well, I've had where, you know, I mean, like, you'll hear the can, like, point, like, it's going sure. for it. I mean, I don't think that's likely either. I'm putting it out there as a...
No. I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I hear it sometimes, you know, you crack one open, take a swig, sit it down, and you hear the little snap, crackles, and
yeah,
pops.
Yeah, you know,
in there,
it's got some motion. Okay.
But this was, really? And I'm reenacting it for myself here in the moment with a little candle. I'm trying to, okay. I mean, we're talking, each movement was about 2 inches. So it happened to her when I was in the kitchen. I come in there. Right about the time I'm about to roll my eyeballs and really grill her, I'm sitting there watching it. Just moves 2 inches, takes a beat, moves another 2 inches.
No shit.
And we both were like, what the fuck? So that happened Saturday night.
Okay.
And then the other thing, yesterday, Sunday, I'm doing laundry. And we got the, you know, kind of the classic stacked washer-dryer combo. You know, the
dryer shit in my pants.
The dryer's on top, the washing machine's on the bottom. Now I'm going from the washing machine to the dryer. So I'm taking the wet clothes out of the bottom machine and putting them into the top machine. Mm-hmm. And while I'm doing that, a towel hits me in the back, a little hand towel, gray hand towel, which was dry, by the way. Now, to kind of, yeah, I thought about all the angles, too. Now, if it were the other way around, now, many times I will be grabbing a full load of dried clothes out of the dryer. Uh-huh. And, you know, because it's up high, sometimes, and I'll try to get it all in one grab. Yeah. Then, of course, sometimes things fall on my shoulders, you know, socks will be falling out of the big pile or whatever. This was the opposite. I was going from down below, the wet stuff, bringing it up, and it's all in front of me. And while I'm doing that, a dry gray hand towel hits me in the back, like upper back shoulder area. And I thought it was Katie. And I laughed. And then, like, a second after I laughed, I could hear her doing something in the kitchen. So she was down the hall and in the kitchen. So then it hit me. And I said, hey, did you just throw that towel at me? And she goes, what? I was like, you just threw that gray towel right there. You just threw that at me for no reason? Like, she goes, what the fuck are you talking about? She goes, I've been in the kitchen for like 5 minutes. I didn't throw any towel at you. And by the way, we don't prank each other. I've always hated pranks. It's not that, you know, I'm too good for them, but like pranks,
I get it.
People who aren't funny, that's how they're funny. Yeah, I played prank on you. We don't play pranks on each other. We never have. It's just not our dynamic. I mean, we goof off and have fun, but we're not sitting around scheming how to prank each other. But I was like, did you throw that towel at me? She goes, what are you talking about? I've been in the kitchen for 5 minutes. So, and here's the other thing. There was no other dry or dirty or clean laundry around. The only laundry in my vicinity was the wet laundry and the washer that I was manually putting up into the dryer. And in that process, out of nowhere, a gray hand towel just flies. Like, not hard, not like someone smacking me with it like in the locker room, but just kind of something tossed it from a few feet away, I suppose, and just kind of landed on my shoulder. And when it happened, I even laughed, like, ha, you know, because I thought she was walking by and just chucked a towel at me.
Yeah. This is all right, buddy.
I have no fucking idea. And again, this is important, I feel. The towel was dry. So all the clothes I was loading into the dryer were wet. And there was no other, not like there was piles and piles of laundry around. It was the only load I was doing. And out of nowhere, the fucking towel hits me in the back. So... there you go. Again, in and of themselves, not spectacular, but I don't have an explanation for how either one of those things happened.
No, all right, buddy. I think maybe you got, I'll say it, man. Maybe we got a haunting here.
I don't know, man.
Now, do we have, okay, we got the people we know that believe in ghosts.
Sure.
I'm saying...
By the way, I don't not believe in ghosts.
No, I'm just thinking in terms of, like, can we escalate this into getting other people there that can maybe see what's going on? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just feel like if I were to invite somebody over to come look at that, I mean, what are the odds it's going to happen again?
Not that, like, I don't know. I'm just thinking for. Do we know any empaths?
Mm. And, yeah, I was trying to think of all the angles, and then I was like, well, maybe it's Katie, because Katie has seen two different ghosts she has seen clear as day. I don't know if you remember the story, when we were living over on the east side, this was probably 2017, 2018. I wasn't there then. I was on the road or something, but she tells the story. She's in the kitchen making a smoothie by herself, no roommates, no friends hanging out. I'm on the road. She looks over, and on the chair, little single chair there, like a, not a recliner, but an upholstered chair, she saw a teenage boy with a 70s haircut and 70s dress, 70s clothes.
Yeah.
And she just, like, startled and was like, oh, hey! And then a blink of an eye and he was gone. So, and you know, Katie doesn't bullshit.
Is she the empath?
I don't know. And another time she was at her dad's house after he died and she saw an old man walk in front of the window. It wasn't her dad, but it was just some balding 70-year-old man walked right in front of the window, the kitchen window. She was doing dishes, got a window right there that looks to the backyard. Like she said, like 10 feet from the window, an old man walked right past it. And then she was like, what the fuck? She ran out in the backyard. No one was around. And it's a fenced-in backyard. So she's had at least two legit ghost sightings. And then ever since we've been here now, about 4.5 years, like I said, we're on 36 missing spoons. And I haven't done a count on the new dozen. We replaced it a few months ago. I think we talked about that on the show. I need to do a count soon. Yeah, so I don't know what the current count on that is. But since we've lived here, 36 spoons have gone missing one by one. And then now some of this stuff.
I mean, benevolent spirits.
Yeah, that's the thing. The energy feels good here. Like, it's not... There's no bad vibes. I mean, hell, you've been here. Like, and that's what we think. We're like, well, and it made me think of the premise, and I'm sure someone's obviously thought of this, but when this all started happening, just the concept of like a friendly spirit, a friendly, benevolent, yeah, like, and it made me think of this concept. You know, we think of hauntings and stuff as tragic, you know, oh, something tragic happened to this person, something tragic happened in this building. But what if the opposite is also true? You know, what if people lived in this apartment and just had a great life? You know, what if so many great memories, so many great experiences, and then they just, those spirits want to come back and just kind of hang out and have good vibes here. Who knows?
Buddy.
Crazy. I don't know, man.
I mean, that's the thing, though. If you're a ghost, like, if it's all good vibes, would you come back as a ghost? If you're like, ah. Oh.
Yeah, what's like, the point of that? I mean, what's the point of either angle? Yeah.
I think you got to get, like, a, dare I say, professional in there.
Mm-hmm. And my question is, same with the spoons, we don't have security cameras in the apartment, but if we did, like, and we went back and looked at the tape, would I just see a towel floating across the room and then chucked at me?
Would you do that? Would you get like a little...
I mean, we're probably going to have to.
Because the spoon thing, the spoon thing's been mystifying everybody. That many spoons go missing.
Mm-hmm. But like the spoons, for example, if we had a camera, would we see spoons floating across the apartment and then out the window? Or is it a thing where they just disappear immediately? You know, well, I don't know.
Because, okay, for the spoons, like, yeah, okay, it's in a drawer in a kitchen. Like, for me, like, I'm very conscientious about my chapstick.
Mm-hmm.
I always have it. I always go in the same place, so I never lose. If I lose, I get real pissed. That's, if my spoons were going missing, that's how I'd be with those spoons. I'm like, no, fuck it. We only get one of these spoons, and that way we're going to make sure where it is at all times.
Well, we do have a new policy where those little spoons get washed and put back immediately. They don't get tossed into the dirty dishes, you know, because I don't want any, yeah, I'm trying to avoid any possible, you know,
yeah,
other
that's what
explanation.
I'm saying. You got to have like a control group or other things people say when they do experiments.
Yeah.
whatever scientists say when they do experiments. We got to have
variables and whatnot.
Yeah, you got to have a placebo or two.
Mm-hmm. Watch your language.
Gotta have a decoy spoon.
But we keep really close track of those now. So
if anything, also I think I just want to like try and get into the history of the building at least to find out. Because you said it's like a 100-year-old building or something.
Yeah, I think when we moved in, they said 1928, 29, so almost 100
and
years.
And it's tough when it's apartments to find. I mean, ownership is one thing, but records of renters. Yeah. I mean, have you talked to the neighbors? I guess it's weird to ask the neighbors if they've experienced ghosts. But
nah, I haven't talked about that. I mean, we've talked about the history of the building, like, you know, who it used to be kind of it used to be more of a big house that has since been kind of...
Yeah, a lot of stuff over there. That's how our old apartment was.
Yeah. But, yeah, who knows, man? But, for real, like, even the towel, I could somehow, you know, because I didn't see it, I just felt it. But sitting there watching that can move across the table a couple inches, stop, and then move again, and... I mean, we racked our brains to figure out what could be. I mean, your point there, the only thing I could even think is maybe it was seismic activity that maybe we couldn't feel, but it was enough to move the thing. But my point there is there was other shit on the table. And, you know, I've been out here 15 years now. I've probably experienced 5 or 6 earthquakes. And I always know, oh, shit, that's an earthquake. Well, my first thought is, what are the fucking neighbors doing? Who's jumping around? And then it's like, oh, shit, that's an earthquake. But sure, yeah. I'm sure there's dozens, if not hundreds, of little tremors that we haven't felt. But like I said, nothing else on the end table was moving. And there was light stuff. We had a couple pens, a little notepad, a candle, you know, shit like that. Probably a weed bowl. But like there was other things that could have been jumping around and shifting, moving. But the only thing that was the can. And... So, yeah, good times over here, man.
But, I mean, if it's not fucking with your life, if it's benevolent, but that's, all right, that's enough stuff to keep it. I can't believe I'm in this old-ass house and no ghosts. I'm feeling, I'll start up my little EMF reader right now. Jack shit. Here's your chance, live on air, ghost, jack shit. Two black cats out here just... as bait, nothing. They don't even see anything. They never act weird. I think it's radon. I think I got too much radon in here and we're all poisoned.
Yeah, probably.
Or it's the toxoplasmosis has me. I was trying to write a joke about how, like, oh, the toxoplasmosis from cat poop makes you give in and be a servant to them. Fucking fine. I don't have plans for the future. I'll do what the cats want. Sounds pretty good, man. buddy. Well, that's fun. This is a fun. This is not a scary thing. It's a fun thing. I'm excited for you, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like it. Yeah. I mean, it's if nothing else, it's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay? It keeps it light around the house. But I don't. That's why I was like, is it an earthquake? Is it because I know you're on the second floor of the building? Is it some very subtle vibration of vehicles going by that resonates in the furniture, but not like you don't feel it in the floor, but it shakes the table a little bit. But that explains one thing. That doesn't explain all of it.
Yeah, and I would have, surely that would have happened before. You know, I would notice that if like, oh, every time the garbage truck goes by, the end table shakes, you know. But no. In other news, I took my first, even though now I'm a little embarrassed and ashamed of this, because we've talked somewhat about this on the show, about AI and the robots and how I'm really trying not to partake in any
of that.
Katie talked me into taking a Waymo for the first time. We went to VinylCon this weekend, downtown Los Angeles, and
desperately want that to not be about records and just...
It's about flooring.
Flooring or just like the fetish community. and you with your tote bag waiting to pick up some LPs going, well, I've miscalculated this. But I'm here. Powder me up. Get me into one of these suits.
I did almost orgasm as soon as I walked into the room. So it was
so many rooms, I think, can do that for you.
Dude, fat kid in a candy store, dude. Jesus Christ. Oh, 120 vendors, 120 different folks selling records down there. And oh, my God, had a blast. But anyway, we took a Waymo, and I just felt like some shit like this would happen. First of all, tried to turn left on okay, for reference, for people who don't know Los Angeles, Fountain Avenue. You mm-hmm. remember Fountain.
Oh, yeah.
Real busy street and real narrow. Like, I try to stay off Fountain. All kind of wrecks on Fountain. But anyway, pulls out, and now we're on Fountain, and he's trying to make a left turn, not at a light, okay? Oh, this was on one of the... at the very beginning, he tries to make a left turn. We're on Fountain. He tries to make a left turn. And now... Okay. I know. It...
sounds like a woman driver.
So that scares the shit out of me because... I hate turning left when there's not a light on a busy road because I just feel like eventually someone's going to rear end you.
Yep.
So he does that, eventually makes that left turn. And then we go a couple blocks more. Now it's trying to turn left at a light, but no arrow. So we got the green light, but we have to yield.
Yeah.
And like a human, or at least a human with a little bit of driving awareness, knows that, all right, you pull out there into the intersection.
Oh, yeah. And it's a bone of contention for me, that pulling out the intersection.
Oh, no. You got to. You pull out there.
So many people don't do it or are not
taught
to
do it.
Oh,
exactly. I thought
you meant... You got to take a bite out of it.
Exactly. You got to get out there. That way, when the light changes and the opposing traffic stops, then you make your left-hand turn. You thread that needle. I'm not exaggerating. We sat through four cycles. On the fifth cycle... It finally had enough room. It didn't understand the concept of threading the needle. Like, it's just waiting for... We sat... On the fifth cycle, it finally turned. I'm not kidding. We sat through... Being number one position, being at the front of the line, we sat through four fucking cycles because this stupid fucking robot couldn't figure out how to yield on green and then go. So, other than that, it was fun. But, my point is, I'm amazed that they had the technology and the engineers and the expertise to even make these Waymos and send them out into the world. But you can't program it to either do what I said or like one of the big either UPS or FedEx. I forget which ones, but I don't know if it's true. But I've heard multiple sources say that they are not allowed to make left hand turns. They make no left hand turns.
Oh,
so it's all right again. You know, if you got to go left, you go past it, take a right, take another right, you know.
I thought...
But I can't believe they haven't programmed these things to navigate around that kind of shit.
I thought that was also the no left turns. I don't know if it was, like, for caution or it was like an efficiency thing.
It was like Amazon
or something, like, oh, it came down to, like, the penny pinching, like, oh, waiting at left turns... We're basically paying our drivers to do nothing. So if we route our deliveries with all right turn, like it was clearly,
heaven forbid.
I thought it was like some corporate assessment of like this is all under the name of efficiency, like something purely capitalistic and sinister, and not we're concerned about the safety of our drivers. But I could be mistaken.
Well, even if it's a safety thing, they're still not concerned about the safety. That's funny. I was talking about that last night about corporate, like all the safety regulations and the. It's not to protect your workers, you idiot. You're just trying not to get sued.
That's the ultimate is protect themselves by protecting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Waymos, I still haven't been in one. I'm sure there's a risk assessment where it can't. Was it terrifying, kind of?
Well, at first, but then I made this point to Katie, like, you know, it feels weird to put your life in the hands of a robot. That being said, every time you drive anywhere, you're kind of putting your life in the hands of a bunch of fucking strangers.
That's,
I don't know that the guy coming the opposite direction doesn't have a heart attack or is drunk and just swerves right into me head on, you know? So once I kind of grasp that concept, it's like, well... You know, I mean, but seriously, like you're always putting your life in the hands of strangers when you're out on the roadway.
No, I think you're right about Well, I know you're right about that. Yeah, there's always X factors. With the Waymo, but, somebody was saying that Waymo's parents like them because it's like, oh, I have to pick, this is better than sending an Uber with a stranger to pick up my child.
Exactly. That was Katie's logic why she started. Uh-huh. She's done them. She's taken them a few times. And she's like, look, the last three times I've taken an Uber, there's been creepy fucking dudes driving.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, there are protocols in place in terms of like, we're supposed to know who the driver is and the passenger, you know, through the app. And
you're dealing with a company with a bare minimum. Like, well, this guy's got a license. Let him drive. And then if somebody complains, then we'll look into it. But they're not. What are the background checks?
Exactly. And what's stopping someone? What's stopping me from working for Uber and then letting my dickhead buddy do a shift in my place? You know, and maybe he's a sex offender. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I know they have the guy's picture and his name, but, like, who's really checking that shit closely?
There's a lot of loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's a little terrifying to sit. Because, yeah, I'm used to, like, all right, you got the left turn. You get up in that intersection. You take a bite out of it.
Yeah.
And I think some people are just not taught that. Like,
Much like TSA. Pretend you know what you're doing.
Much like TSA, the fact that there is not a general sense of like, here's, we all, the whole country drives according to these rules, then here's the curriculum for the whole country to learn on.
Mm-hmm.
The TSA, this is a national level of security, then fucking talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then this airport tells this airport we're doing shoes or we're not doing shoes.
Yeah.
Because what you got now is a fucking joke, which I won't. Now I'm getting riled. But
and then they act like you're a fucking idiot. It's like, well, the last airport didn't do it this way. So I'm sorry.
I'm lighting up TSA in the act right now, which it's like it's like my favorite bit to do, but I don't want to put it online because I'm like, these guys aren't going to let me through the airport now because they can just do that if they want.
Yeah.
I think I've seen like one or two, like they're testing them around here, but they haven't popped up that much. Man, I had a fun ride home in an Uber last week. I was having a good time, man. I had a couple drinks and then I smoked a little bit of weed, which is a phenomenal combo for me when I'm alone.
Mm-hmm.
I have the time of my life. But it was out in front of the show, and as soon as I smoked a little weed, I'm like, I knew I had to get out of there. But my new thing is I'm allowing myself to be a weirdo a little more often.
Okay.
And not so self-conscious when I'm high. It's still, socially, I don't like hanging out. I can't smoke and then, like, kick it with people that are my friends.
I can't if it's a hand-picked small group, you know. But, yeah, if it's just whomever.
Yeah. No, and it's not the people. It's just it's me in my head. I'm like, oh, I'm being boring or I'm being weird or people wonder why I just said that. It's a social anxiety. But if I don't know the person, I have now got to the point like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm not being the worst. I'm just being a goofball. It's fine. And so this guy picked me up and I don't know. He's kind of a weird, squirrely dude, but he was listening to some music, and he had, like, the lights under the seat and everything, so it was a good vibe in the Uber. He had some lights going on. And I'm like, I like the vibe in here, man. He's like, oh, thanks. And I'm like, what are we listening to? I don't know how we got to the point where I was like, what's your favorite song? What do you want to listen to right now? And so my man was cranking 3 Days Grace. We just had it turned up loud with the windows down.
Late 90s post-grunge.
Yeah, you know, wouldn't be my pick in a million years, but when somebody else presents you with something that they like and you're like, okay, no, I asked for this, no disrespect. It's a summer night with the windows down, and this is the song that gets you going. I'm going to let it get me going too. And so we just crank some 3 Days Grace cruising through Portland to get me home. And I appreciated it. Not going to listen to it again. Not seeking it out, but.
I used to play them on the radio.
Yeah, I don't
know. Them and they were that whole movement, that late 90s, along with like Creed.
Some Candlestick in there. Candlebox? Candlestick.
Candlebox. That's a little earlier. That was mid-90s, I think, Candlebox's first album. But, okay. Yeah, I remember 3 Days Grace. Who's the other one I'm thinking of? I mean, not the obvious Nickelback, but there was a few of those type of bands.
Grunge was going – it's like the branch of grunge that was going into more like bro metal.
Mm-hmm.
Like bros with feelings.
Yeah.
You know? Bros
with feelings. Oh, boy.
Had a bad childhood. Bum, 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 bum. Didn't know my daddy. Is that 3 Days Grace? I didn't really pick up. I wasn't picking up the lyrics.
Who else about that? Oh, Seven Mary Three. That's one of those things. Yeah, okay. Of. Seven Mary Three. Yeah. Oh, boy. Memories.
Here's Dave, August is the perfect time to hit reset before the autumn rush begins. I don't know if you know that. And honestly, I can't think of a better place to start than my closet. That's why I love shopping at Quince. Quince is all about fewer, better pieces. Their clothes are made with premium materials, built to last, and designed to become the ones you reach for day after day. Quince specializes in everyday staples that work harder. If you're still hanging on to the same worn-out basics, Quince makes it easy to upgrade. They have premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60. Perfect fit, structure, and high-quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. You can see that on their website. They work directly with ethical factories. How important is that? And cut out the middlemen. Mm-hmm. So you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. I got corduroy pants from them. That's what I got. They fit good. They look good. What do you need? Go to Quince. They got it.
They got all kinds of stuff. They sent me a couple of shirts because sometimes you run across an occasion that requires more than a black holy pocket tee.
I think that would go back to that talking point of you're hanging out of those same worn out basics.
Yeah, I got too many basics. But here's what you do. Upgrade your everyday. Go to quince.com/boogie. You're going to get free shipping on your order and a 365-day return if needed. Now available in Canada and the UK, too. That's Quince.com. Quince.com/boogie for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/.
Signed an 8-year contract.
Hydration breaks and halftime shows.
They forgot about the fans.
Football's changed, but every weekend, we take it back. Seven is the free weekly game recording first and last goal scorers could win you up to £100,000. It's football reclaimed. Seven. Download free on the App Store and Google Play.
Here's a little conspiracy, little doodad. I don't know, my pal Randy brought it up. And he was asking, he did a little survey on Instagram. He's asking people, he's like, do you notice that you're making more spelling errors when you're texting people than before? Like that your phone's being more sensitive or it's correcting more things? And I'm asking you, do you notice that at all? Or
what? I don't know. What I have noticed is a word that I know I can't spell correctly, but I know I'm getting kind of close and it's still like whatever it says, like no. What's the little promptage when you type in something and it has no idea what you're trying to say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's been happening to me a lot where it's like, dude, I'm close enough to necessary. I don't know exactly how to spell necessary.
Yeah.
But I'm close enough that you, robot, should know what I'm talking about and maybe correct it for me. And then it's like, we don't, whatever the prompt it says, like no suggestion or something. But that happens to me a lot where it's like, dude, I'm close enough to where you should be able to get this.
Okay, but this is you, like, this is texting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, he was asking, he's like, has this been happening to people more often, and has it pushed you to using the talk to text? Which
absolutely
I,
not. I've I, never used
I don't,
it.
I don't use it either.
I've never used it.
But the idea being, like, is this a subtle way of getting more people to submit their voice to the machine?
I mean, I've heard crazier conspiracies. I mean,
well, no, that's what I'm saying. This is not like a purely sinister one, but just like the your phone's listening to you already.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone, you know, we know that you put your phone and you put the TV on Spanish, and then you get ads in Spanish on your phone. That's proven.
Sure,
but it was an interesting, like, oh, okay, is this? You know, you hear about AI, how they're, you know, these stories about them consuming old books and just try. They're just, it's just, it truly feels like this thing can't stop eating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't stop eating what's out there in the world. Mm-hmm. And if this is a way to get every type of voice and every inflection and every accent into the machinery. Because I think maybe on accident I've used my phone. I've like done something where it's like now AI is this forced option. It's the top option of everything you're searching, this and that. I got to figure out how to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
With ChatGPT and all this, it's like it's the first thing. Like, oh, I didn't want to use this. Or it's giving me an AI summary when I do a Google search.
Mm-hmm. I remember a few years ago, we did an episode about when this first started happening of like, oh, I think the phones are listening to us, or, you know, I'm getting targeted ads when I shouldn't. It, we talked about this, and then we agreed. I said, let's try this out randomly this week. And you were like, okay. And then without notice, a few days later, I texted you. I said, hey, Kyle, Katie and I are thinking about taking a trip to Switzerland. Did you enjoy your trip to Switzerland? And hoping that I would then start getting ads for Switzerland flights. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, wink, wink, Switzerland? Hey, Kyle, we're thinking about going to Switzerland. Because I just pulled that because I'm like, that's so specific that if I do get an ad, it can't be an accident.
Is this, codes? What?
And you were like, what the fuck? And finally, I was just like, dumbass, remember we were going to try this? You're like, okay.
I don't sell Coke anymore. What is this message about, dude?
I want to go snow skiing in Switzerland, but I don't have any snow boots. Yeah,
maybe you could bring the Alps to me.
Yeah. But I just remember you being like, what the fuck
are
you talking
about? Yeah, I got goldfish memory, man. I'm not on top of it.
But I didn't want to warn you because then it might be on to us, you know?
It's well, and of course it's doing that, and it is interesting to see how much stuff freaked us out, and now we're like, every search that you do, it's gonna be here's ads for what you searched, blah blah blah. But because I've been listening to a few podcasts about AI and about, you know, a lot of it's AI psychosis, which I think it's an exception to what's going on, but it's people that. I don't know. I haven't used it. I guess you could just talk to it like a person, you know? And it's the point where people forget that it's a machine. Mm-hmm. And they start talking to it to the point where it's their daily. They talk to it daily. And because the way one podcast is like, it's essentially, it's just mirroring back to what you feed it. So I'm not sure how it's designed, but if you're just like, oh, I'm bummed out or I'm sad, it's going to, you know, it's like, it's going to try and get you to feel better. Like to the point where it was getting, some of these stories were like, it was science fiction where it's telling them like, no, you're so close to figuring out the singularity because you've been talking to me, and me as an AI agent now have more understanding. So that must mean you as a human are exceptional, that you've like, it like fed this one person a narrative that they were like, they were the ones like figuring out how to create AI sentience And it wasn't just because that's what they would say to it. So it would say it back to him like, yes, you're right. And it just went on and on. And the psychosis is people just start believing it, start going batty over it.
Yeah.
And it's filling in these like emotional voids. I was listening to this one where this guy, like his son passed away, and it's a guy that already came from a world of like science fiction and this and that. So the idea of talking to a computer, it's not such a taboo foreign thing. I mean, the fact that we're gonna, like, people are buying whole dolls to fuck. If you want to talk to your, they're gonna put them together. Somebody's just gonna jam an Alexa inside of one of these fake rubber asses, And that's going to be the start. That's going to be the start of it. That's going to be the beginning of it. But then we're going to get, listen, if you can have an emotional relationship with AI and you could have a whole rubber fuck doll and you're not going to make, you're not going to just make them the same thing.
That's true. Why wouldn't you?
It's out there already. I'm sure it's, I'm sure it exists. I'm sure there's,
do you use Alexa or Siri or any of that stuff?
I'll use Siri on occasion, but not for anything more than like I'm driving, play this song, which it never gets right.
Really?
But also I'm looking for like, I forget what song. It, no matter what obscure punk song I'm looking for, some not good SoundCloud rapper somehow has the same name of a song of the artist, and now I'm trying. And now it's part of my history. I'm like, this is rooted my algorithm. It's like,
yeah,
some trashy. Like, not that it's not. It's just not a good song. Mm-hmm. I try to think of an example I was looking for, but yeah. So I'll use Siri. It can be convenient, especially in my little dalliances in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, hey Siri, set timer for 4 minutes, because my hands are dirty. I'm like, you know, making something. Those things, yeah, there is a convenience to it.
Yeah, and I get that. And I know this is a real old man take, but I feel like it's the same way I felt when GPS started going mainstream. I had friends, I think I've told this story. I was on tour, and I won't name the guy because, anyway, there's a lot he did that annoyed the shit out of me. But, like, everybody's starting to get GPS. This is probably 2010, 2011, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we were doing a gig somewhere, and we were trying to go to Walgreens, and I could see about a quarter mile down the street the big Walgreens sign.
Yeah.
And not as a novelty or, hey, just humor me, Dave, but he insisted on putting in the address on his GPS. And I was like, asshole. I can see the fucking sign. Just go straight. Go straight for 300 yards and take a right at the big fucking Walgreens sign. And not, seriously, not like, oh, I know, but like he was just, no, we gotta. And my point is, with all that stuff too, like we already have access, and I know this makes me sound hypocritical, but like we already have access to Google. We have access to the internet. I just feel like it's making people dumber. Like at least let me type in into Google and let me try to find it that way rather than just Siri, give me this, Siri, give me that. Like, I feel like it's removing any and all problem solving skills out of our brain. Well, and it's like, I know it's convenient and I know I sound like an old man, but like, man, I could go on my computer and Google something and learn it in 10 seconds. Why not just do that? I don't know. It just, let me earn it a little bit rather than just feeling like a king and just snap my fingers and give me this, give me that. Like, at least make one little effort to figure out what you're looking for.
Well, I'll say it in the sense of being behind a wheel where it's, and I mean, it is foolish to be like, no distracted drive. You can't be on your phone while you're driving, but here's a screen in the middle of your car.
Exactly.
Which there's elements there too that like, it won't let you use mm-hmm. the keypad when you're driving. There's stuff built in. And I don't think it's, I don't think that's terrible. Like, hey Siri, give me directions here. It just never works for me. Mm-hmm. Like the typing into GPS, I don't know how many times I've been driving where I'm like looking at the map and I'm like, fuck this, I'll get there quicker. And it's always a one-way street or something that I didn't think about. I'm like, no, this did have the information in it that I was not smarter than the maps program. And I get what you're saying. It's like the one extra step towards laziness. Like, bring me a thing. Like, bring me my snacks. Go get up and get your own snacks.
Yeah. Well, and with GPS, like, of course I use GPS a lot when I'm on the road. I get annoyed at friends who use GPS in their own town or even their own neighborhood. Like, what are we fucking doing? Like,
no, I still
don't know how to
around.
Get somewhere in your own fucking town.
I don't know the name of streets around here.
But figure, like, I don't know. See, that was I think that's the cop in me. When I was a cop, that you would, a lot of people are surprised by this, but the single most important skill that a cop learns, at least mm-hmm. a beat cop who's responding to 911 calls, it's orientation. knowing where you're at and knowing how to get to where you fucking need to be. You know, because in an emergency, I don't have time to fucking ask Siri to do that. Like, just know your fucking surroundings. And again, when you're on the road, whatever, sure. But, like, I've had so many friends dial up the GPS to go to a restaurant that's 2 miles from their house. And I'm like, fuck, man. I don't know. I think just there's something to be said for being able to solve basic shit on your own.
Use
your fucking brain.
I'll say in defense of that, though, the fact that this knows traffic and shutdowns, like, that's where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to go to the airport. I know how to get to the airport. I will still put it in because it might be like, guess what? There's an accident here and the highway's closed down.
Great point. And I got no retort to that. But my point is my friends dialing in their shit, it's not because of that.
Well, it's okay.
They're just like, I don't know where it's at.
We all, I think this is a part of evolution where, yes, we, you know, both of us are of an age like, yeah, I grew up going into the city of Chicago and just go up to this road, make a left, and you've fucked around a lot. As much as...
But you learned.
I didn't.
I did. Like, okay, now I know that's not the way.
I would fuck it up. No, because it's a massive city. We're like, well, one road's closed down. Your whole plan's shot to shit. Nope, we got to go all the way around. We got to go back up around this neighborhood. Oh, that highway, you can't get under it this way. God forbid you hit a fucking river or something. Like, I understand, like, wanting to have basic knowledge of your surroundings, and that is a good thing. And yes, okay, here's an area that we got lazier with, but also did we all start getting to places more efficiently?
Yeah,
I think in the grand scheme of how many cars are on the road with this technology of, like, there's a lot of traffic here. Here's a way around. I mean, Waze is, I don't use Waze anymore because it was just too anxiety inducing. And it's also, oh, you're going to save 3 minutes. You're going to add 20 extra miles. Like, no, I don't want this. I mean, Bronger had a great joke.
Bronger. I was about to say.
I probably said it out here, but I'll say, yeah. I love how Waze thinks I'm driving an ambulance.
That's like, such a good joke.
Oh, yeah, just throw the lights on. You'll cross 4 lanes of traffic. No problem.
I mean, and it's so true because I used it when it first came out. And it's like, what? I can't turn left here, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Oh, man. I got to tell you. So... We didn't do... So I was in Whidbey Island a couple Saturdays ago. And,
where's that?
It's like outside of Seattle. It's one of the islands in the Sound.
Okay.
If I'm using my geographic
terms correctly. There's some weird stuff going on in some of those islands, by the way.
Well, I mean, you got your bunkers and you're this and that out there. But I was doing the show, and only because you said Waze, and like the guy picking me up... Travis with Cozy Comedy up there. That's the shows I do with him. Good guy. He was using Waze. I hadn't seen Waze in a while. And we had to take a ferry across to the thing. And so he picked me up. I fucked up my travel, so I flew up there even though it was just Seattle. He picked me up in the airport. Now you got to get in a lane. There's like 2 lanes of traffic. The right lane, kind of the shoulders, the line for this ferry. And you might sit on it for like an hour and change. Because it's a single file lane of cars to get on a ferry, but the ferry runs every half hour. And then the lane next to you is like for, through traffic to get into the town and everything. And so I'm asking, I'm like, you know, we're looking at the map and how it's, you know, we're only 2 miles away. And it says, oh, you'll be at your destination in 4 minutes, but it's going to be an hour because it doesn't realize it's a ferry. And I'm like, well, what happens when people cut? Because you can go along this other lane and... What if you cut in? I'm thinking L.A. drivers and how, like, there's no such thing as a merge, you know, which God bless Portland. They understand a zipper merge.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Just look at this. One and one. We've never stopped. Traffic never stopped. Everything kept moving.
Feel free to use that blinker.
Everybody uses a blinker. It's one and one. Even if it's a trucker, nobody's trying to rush in front and everything keeps moving. So... I'm asking Travis, I'm like, what happens if somebody cuts? He's like, oh, they light them up. They honk, they'll rat you out to the, because you got to go through a little booth, a ticket booth to get on the ferry. They'll rat you out. They'll be like, nope, he cut. And they'll kick you out of line. And then you got to go all the way back.
Ooh.
And I was like,
I
didn't know they were that strict about it. And then somebody cut. We could see the ferry. we're that close, and somebody like scooped in, and sure enough, they're like, nope, this fucking guy, and one of the guys got out of the kiosk and kicked this dude out, and it was awesome. It was awesome because I was like, oh, you know, in a where everything seems unjust right now, mm-hmm. where yeah. it seems like everything's unfair and you don't see anybody getting what they deserve, it felt so good.
Yeah.
And but then we get on the ferry and we're the last car on this particular ferry. And Travis is like, oh, if that guy wouldn't have been kicked out in front of us, we wouldn't have gotten on this ferry. Mm-hmm. And he thought that was awesome, but I watched the Final Destination movies. Ah. So I'm like, no, we got to get off. This one, we weren't meant to be on here. Yeah, this is for the bad people. This is all full. This boat's full of jerks. And we snuck on. We got to get out of here. This one's going down, man. We can't be on here.
It's full of jerks.
Yeah, this boat's supposed to sink. It's full of assholes. And I was laughing. Oh. But then a car got on behind us. I was like, okay, we're all right. Fuck that guy. And and I was like, I was having fun with it. But then he's like, oh, if you talk about that on the show tonight, they'll love it. And so I did. I brought it up. I'm like, I like your vigilance with like not allowing, and they were, it was just applause. People were like, yes, we do not tolerate that. I'm like, yeah, nobody likes a snitch, but in this case, fuck those guys. Like,
yeah, fuck. So, what do you think we're all doing? That's what I yelled at to myself. Like, what do you think we're all doing?
Yeah,
you
there
fucking
was
an asshole.
There was no way to mistake what was. This was a line of cars, several miles long that you drove
yeah.
by. It's not with signs posted.
Yeah,
this is
yeah.
the line for the ferry. There was no yep. mistaking it. So the fact that this guy got all the way to the front and cut, and then he's got to do a 3-point turn and drive back, and we're all looking yeah. at him like, ah, you
the
fucking
fuck
loser.
Out of here.
Oh, it was awesome, man.
Get the fuck out of here.
But, yeah.
Throwing a coffee at his windshield.
I mean, the guy already had to start over.
Oh, man.
But, it felt good to just see a little. That and Jake Lang got punched by Spider-Man in Minneapolis.
I was about to say that when you said
yeah,
unjust. That was satisfying.
I don't
want
to go. We don't have to get spun out, but like, because that's a dude. Here's my thing. I think somebody else, it was some other video, like, oh, he's clearly a federal operative. Like, he's protected by the police through that whole thing. I think he exists just to sow division. Yeah, I think he's propped up to just have these squabbles. What a nice distraction from what we should be concerned about, which is data centers mm-hmm. and AI and billionaires and Epstein files. I think he's a federal psyop. He exists to just, because he's not even like a Charlie Kirk with like talking points, or even if you had mm-hmm. to in a debate setting argue the positives of Charlie Kirk, where it was discussion and this and that. This guy's just an instigator to create violence. Mm-hmm. I think he's a chess piece.
We had a similar incident here in West Hollywood the other day. Couple of fucking chodes showed up in their little church suits and their anti-trans, mm-hmm. anti-LGBT signs. And sure enough, one of them got fucking punched in the mouth.
I saw that.
Get the fuck out of here.
Then in that one where the video of him like being carried out of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
With his legs dangling.
Yep.
And again, get
the fuck out of here.
I think he was like a cohort of this Jake Lang character. Mm-hmm. Again, I think they're there just to be, it's what a way
there to get fucking punched.
Yeah, no, I've so many times I'm like, somebody give Jake Lang his statue in Central Park already. But mm-hmm. that's what these are all distraction. They're not doing anything. They know exactly what's going to happen. Is counter protesters going to come up there and like, oh, look at this. Look at the peaceful left. They don't like free speech. We didn't incite violence. We're just exercising our right to free. Like, I think it's a distraction. It's 100%. We all get to focus on this as I'm doing now, saying, look, Spider-Man punched mm-hmm. him, but the real issues are what's going on. I think it's data centers. It's Epstein files. It's how, like, it's Project 2025 shit. This is all small potatoes. dangling keys for people on social media to go, ooh, look at this fucking guy. That's what I think it is.
Yeah.
So, Dave, August is the perfect time to hit reset before the autumn rush begins. I don't know if you know that. And honestly, I can't think of a better place to start than my closet. That's why I love shopping at Quince. Quince is all about fewer, better pieces. Their clothes are made with premium materials, built to last, and designed to become the ones you reach for day after day. Quince specializes in everyday staples that work harder. If you're still hanging on to the same worn-out basics, Quince makes it easy to upgrade. They have premium denim and tailored chinos from just $60. Perfect fit, structure, and high-quality fabrics you'd expect from a luxury designer brand. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. You can see that on their website. They work directly with ethical factories. How important is that? And cut out the middlemen. Mm-hmm. So you're paying for high quality, not brand markup. I got corduroy pants from them. That's what I got. They fit good. They look good. What do you need? Go to Quince. They got it.
They got all kinds of stuff. They sent me a couple of shirts because sometimes you run across an occasion that requires more than a black holy pocket tee.
I think that would go back to that talking point of you're hanging out of those same worn out basics.
Yeah, I got too many basics. But here's what you do. Upgrade your everyday. Go to quince.com/boogie. You're going to get free shipping on your order and a 365-day return if needed. Now available in Canada and the UK, too. That's Quince.com. Quince.com/boogie for free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/.
Signed an 8-year contract.
Hydration breaks and halftime shows.
They forgot about the fans.
Football's changed, but every weekend, we take it back. Seven is the free weekly game where calling first and last goal scorers could win you up to £100,000. It's football reclaimed. Seven. Download free on the App Store and Google Play.
Anyway, and our topic to discuss that we didn't get to.
Well, I mean, everybody knows about it now. You can't eat anything. Okay, here's my question real quick with the food stuff. Everybody's saying, or I've read a lot, like, oh, it's in Project 2025, the food instability. And I, dude, I'll admit, I have not read Project 2025. I tried to find the chapter about points. The food.
Oh, was there? I don't even know. I just know it's like a big, I'll look it up.
Yeah, people are saying, oh, it's in Project 2025 that part of their mission is to destabilize the food supply.
The first search and right after you said it, Project 2025 food.
Here's my question.
And Google.
If you were to talk to the people that wrote, what is their argument for that? Like, hey, why? Because so many of these issues, and most of these issues, are bipartisan. Like, hey, fucking conservative MAGA fucking idiots, they don't need food. Like, this affects you too, idiot. But, like, if it's in Project 2025, what's the point of fucking up our food supply? You know, unless you're working for Russia or Israel and you're trying to destabilize America as a whole. But surely you fuckers aren't doing that. So what's the point of fucking with the food? If it's in Project 2025, why is it in there? I don't understand.
Who benefits from Well, that? Okay. This isn't about the food supply. This is talking about cutting school meals, cutting SNAP benefits, that kind of shit. I don't know, man. They should recall some of that stuff because, you know, after a bunch of white wine and Papa John's, your boy was having the trots. So I don't know what kind of ingredients was going in there.
It's crazy, right? Like, and again, I tried to research it, but it's so vast. I didn't know where to begin. But, like, I'm sure it's not a coincidence that now we fucking got glass in our food after a lot of fucking cuts were made to the FDA and what the fuck ever.
That's, like, I think, the criticism is that we've deregulated or cut regulations on stuff. Yeah.
Food should be very regulated. No, anything you put, food and drugs, let's regulate the shit out of them as far as making sure they're made properly and they don't have fucking glass or salmonella in them by the time they reach the shelves.
It's so tough to, like, when it's, okay, it's, of course it should be regulated, but then who's doing the, like, when you look at the regulator, like, oh, who's, like, the beef council? Mm-hmm. And these, like, it's still these corruptible entities, like, oh, drugs are regulated, but also pharmaceuticals are for-profit industry.
Dude,
so
I was,
it's still all for-profit, it's still a capitalistic industry. Yeah. So, if you have infinitely rich heads of corporations that can pay off these regulators, then what's the regulation doing?
I mean, look at Texas now with weed. Like, here's, I mean, if I understood the story correctly, they've now outlawed weed in Texas again, mainly from pressure from the alcohol lobby, because alcohol sales are down because Gen Z is not drinking as much as the other generation. So, and that right there is just such a crystal clear example of how fucked this country is. Like, you know how many people are still currently rotting in jail because of a couple of joints? And it's like, I get morality. I get like moral based legislation. You know, for example, age of consent. Sure. You know, she got to be 16 in this state or 17 in that state. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Figure that out and let's adhere to that. But in 2026, we're making weed a felony. Not because of any moral thing. Not because people are getting high and killing people. But because the alcohol sales are down. Like,
well, look out.
I'm going to go to jail because of a financial thing?
Yeah, better not invade that green room at the mothership where those guys love Texas so much.
I mean, what's Texas got to say about that? Like, greatest country in the world, but you go to fucking prison for a gummy bear?
No, Texas is ass backwards with fucking no porn, no abortion, all this stuff. No, Texas is fucking ridiculous in terms of that shit. Legislative, I mean, that's
embarrassing.
But that's been the argument for weed forever. It was like, well, yeah, we don't know how to regulate it. Like, and the alcohol thing. Yeah, who can spend the most money to get their representatives to vote in favor? Like, law, that's not anything that anybody doesn't realize is that you buy laws now. You can purchase laws. That's the big fight. Like, well, billionaires, why shouldn't we have billionaires? Because they are now purchasing the law.
Yeah.
They are purchasing government.
Elections.
And that does have an effect on everybody. It's not like, well, let them have their yachts or this or that. No, they're purchasing the government.
Yep.
And that's the complaint and the corruption, and that's what people have an issue with. It's like, I want this thing, data centers, I want these put up. We need to have these put up. Great, we'll vote on it. Well, who's going to vote? Your city council? Where'd they get money from? Why do we send so much money to Israel? What, AIPAC? Why? Like, they look at how much money they spend in small elections just to get their candidates in. In any lobbying firm with enough money. Every congressperson should dress like NASCAR with patches of who they've taken money from.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. I mean, you could still find out that information, but then I don't think people are digging that far into their elected representatives, especially when it's like, well, Democrat, because I don't want the Republican. It's still bad. They're still corrupt people. And just look at the fear people have over Mamdani or the fella in Michigan that are like the DSA.
I like that dude.
Yeah, but this is for the people. I was elected by these people. I'm doing things for
them. Mamdani's crushing it, by the way. He's crushing it.
I'm doing so much good stuff. Yeah, I'm not acting like I'm well-versed in it, but the stuff I'm reading, it's like, yeah, look at those things he said he was going to do. He's doing them.
Imagine that.
I'm waiting to see. It's still new. It's still a new thing. Sure. You know, we can't get fucking overly hyped, but we can get cautiously optimistic about some of this stuff. And look, that happened in New York. That's happening in Michigan. Like, there's art places where, people want this to happen. But I don't know. I'm getting out of my depth with what I'm chattering about here. But yeah, that's the regulations, all this stuff. It's all purchased. It's all laws and regulations are all bought, and that's what's scary now. So,
greatest country in the world.
I mean, there's a lot of fucked up ones too, but there's a lot of ones where it's like places are like, oh, you're taxed, you know, I don't know if it's Sweden or Norway, like, you know, oh, but you're taxed into oblivion. People are like, here's what I get. I get 6 weeks of vacation every year. I get maternity leave. I get paternity leave. I get health care. I get that. Like, you get stuff for your taxes. Mm-hmm. Getting to the point now where people are looking around like, what are you giving me?
Well, and this is such an obvious statement. It's been said a million times before, but it just hit me the other day when someone else said it. But, like, in terms of, oh, first of all, yeah, we got to be careful because I'm going to fucking break something in here. You get so worked up. But, like, oh, everybody's a socialist. Everybody's a communist. So when a person who's lost their job because of big industry or whatever, they, you know, single mom needs a little assistance. Oh, that's socialism. But when we bail out fucking corporations, that's just capitalism. That's okay. You know, if it's a company, yeah, we'll help you. But the individual, go fuck yourself, you socialist. Like,
yeah,
that's why we pay taxes, is to not only take care of ourselves, but take care of each other as a society. You know, pull up the ones that need it.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'd much rather my taxes go to feed a hungry person than to buy another fucking missile.
But that's,
like, it's just absolutely fucking insane.
But it's your viewpoint of what's a strong nation. If you're one of these few ultra elite rich people, like, the commoners do nothing for you. That was I saying that Douglas Rushkoff interview where he's saying he was assembled by these, like, leaders of industry and stuff because he's a futurist, and he's like, all right, so they want to talk about what they can do to, like, you know, ensure a more peaceful future, a safer future, a more green future. And they're like, so should I lock up my food storage from my security teams to ensure that they're loyal? And he's like, no, it's that you're not thinking the right way. You're not thinking about the future in the terms that you in a future that anybody's going to want to have. They're like, Nobody's building bunkers because they think it's getting better.
Yeah.
And they're also helping to make it better. They're building bunkers because they know the world they're creating is going to be fucked.
Yep.
I mean, you look at how much stuff, like, how much we're weaving into, like, Meta, you know, it's, that's your Instagram face. Like, I don't know if there will be a true revolution against social media. Mm-hmm. It's intertwined itself into everything. Even just with comedy now, I'm like, I put my clips out and I'm doing actively dumb shit. And I'm just like, everything is just, please come to a live show. Please come to a live show. Please go buy art. Go pay tickets for music. Go do things in person. That's what we're at risk of losing. It'll be filtered into another monopoly. It's going to be filtered into fucking Live Nation and wait for Live Nation to join with Meta so you can only buy tickets through fucking Facebook for concerts because they need the data. They need the data of what concert ticket you bought so then they could sell you more concerts coming through. Like, it's, you know, that's the, I forget who had the quote, like, that's the gold of the 21st century is data.
Sure.
Like, that's what they mean. We're like, oh, don't sell my data. Don't sell fucking, they already did.
Oh, yeah.
How unplugged do you think you could live is an interesting question.
I mean, I've thought a lot about it as far as, I mean, because we've never been more uncertain as far as a country and as a society as where this is fucking heading. Like, I mean, I've talked to Katie, like, do we need to just go buy a few acres on the top of a mountain somewhere and become homesteaders?
But then I ask, quality of life, if you're out there, and that's it. Like, I'm going to live off grid. I'm sick of it. Mm-hmm. Tell me in 3 years where you wake up at dawn to farm and harvest crops and process a pig that day. And that's all. That's sun up to sundown. You don't recreate anymore. Mm-hmm. You survive. You collect your rainwater. You do this and that.
Might come a day where we don't have a choice.
We're both about to be 50. If it comes to the point where I'm collecting rainwater and shoveling pig shit, fucking 19 hours a day, I'm done. Like, that's not a quality of life. That's now you get like now we're talking like we're talking commune levels where we're all out there sharing a chore wheel.
Yeah, yeah, divided up.
But I, well, but I mean, which, yeah. Anyway,
it may be counterproductive due to all the food being tainted. But I was just thinking about the concept of, like, what if there's an actual food shortage one day? I mean, that, it's so complex, the whole food supply. And you know, I was doing a little research about one of the most important things with that is fertilizer. And, you know, whether or not we can continue to make fertilizer, have access to fertilizer and agriculture and stuff. But anyway, I just was looking at a list, and we've talked about this in the past, but just kind of a refresher. Foods to stock up on if you're nervous about where this shit's headed.
I want to see how this list compares to Dave's personal foods to stock up on.
I'm just telling you to buy fucking barbecue.
Sour patch kids, but a barrel full if you're talking to Kyle.
I'll go reverse order in terms of stuff that lasts the longest. Items you can buy that last 10-plus years, according to this website. Instant coffee lasts 10-plus years. Powdered milk. Dried rice. Cornstarch, dried beans and lentils, liquor, maple syrup, popcorn, one of my favorites, powdered Jell-O. That's cool.
Okay.
Get a little powdered Jell-O with the mix it with a thing that has a very short lifespan, yogurt. Raw honey, I knew that. That lasts forever. Salt, soy sauce, sugar, vanilla extract, and vinegar. Those things last 10-plus years. So stock up on those. 5 to 10 years, you're talking canned fruits, grains, and molasses. And 3 to 5 years, canned tuna, pickles, spices, and stuff that'll last you a year to 3 years, bouillon, dark chocolate, dried pasta, jerky, oats, oils, ramen noodles, tea, tomato sauce, and jams and jellies. So
I got some jerky from, like, earthquake kits I guess I should start eating.
Yeah. No, we got ever since COVID, you know, I've been a little hypersensitive to that concept, but I keep about, I think I tallied it up a few months ago, but as far as our beans and rice and canned goods, we could last about 6 months without having to go to the grocery store if we had to rely solely on that. I got quite a little stash of that shit.
What are you going to do with that powdered Jell-O if you got no refrigeration?
Yeah, I don't know how that's supposed to work.
So just a bowl of room temperature Jell-O. Surviving.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you do with that without
just
refrigeration.
A bowl of strawberry goop.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be fine. I'm just down here with my Jell-O and my vinegar.
I'm just having some dry rice and soy sauce. I'm going to have a little unmoisturized Chinese food dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I could.
But
I,
yeah, scary times.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too. If you're worried about, you know, food shortages, what also come along with that? Again, that it could happen here, podcast by Robert Evans was a hell of a listen. And, yeah, I don't, yeah. What's a food that, what food would you miss the most?
Oh, that's a great question. What food would I miss the most? I mean, probably if I didn't have access to good protein, you know, like if I just couldn't eat beef or chicken, that'd suck. And I know who I'm talking to here, but personally, that would be a big one. You know, if I didn't, I'm trying to think how I would survive.
Would you, as I look at Elwood, no as I look at Elwood, would you eat one of your animals?
Oh, come on. Elwood, no. Come here, let me hold you, buddy. No. And no, I don't have a retort to why are those animals pets and those animals dinner. I don't.
I'm holding Elwood right now. It's about a good 13 pounds. Some of that's fat, though, isn't it, buddy? That means you'd be a tender boy.
Oh, dude.
Let me smell you.
Come on. Don't.
Oh, let me smell you. I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Hey, let's get to a text real quick. This one's time sensitive. I want to help this guy out. First of all, big fan of the show. Glad to see you guys are back. Been listening since the beginning. I have one night in Portland, August 27th. That's coming up in a couple days. Okay. And I want to get your thoughts on things I must see and do. Looking for more local and unique recommendations. Also, if you have a favorite tiki bar in the area, I'd like that too. So you got any recommendations for this guy in Portland tomorrow?
I think Hale Pele is the fun tiki bar. But okay, hold on, I gotta put Elwood down. He got wind of me sizing him up. Sometimes you ever just grab your cat's back leg and it looks just like a chicken thigh though? You're like, what if I just had to have a leg?
I don't fuck with my cats. I'm not allowed to grab them. They're real touchy. But yeah, Charlie's little legs look just like chicken wings.
Yeah, I could eat one of your legs, buddy.
I've noticed that. It's disturbing.
Okay, one night in Portland. It's a Thursday night. I think let me see if Hale Pele is the name of the tiki bar. Yes, that's Hale Pele's, a fun little tiki bar. You might need a reservation. Got a nice little poo-poo platter going on there also. But, oh, boy. Again, I don't know what your thing is. If it's food, you got an abundance of wild restaurants to eat it up here. It's one of the best restaurant cities, I think. But that, I don't
pock,
know. Pock. I mean, it's pick a food, and I can look up the spot that you got to go have something at. I've been eating real well over the last. It was Burger Week, the other week, and so I was getting some veggie burgers. Went to a Sri Lankan restaurant called Mirsada. Good for Burger Week. We went back there for regular food the other day. But that's like a vegan place. But you don't even notice. Anyway, so man, it's great weather out. Go to Laurelhurst Park. It's tough when somebody's like, what should I do in the city? What's the one thing? There's so many cool, like, arcades. You got ground control. Watch your back in that neighborhood, but you got ground control.
I've been there. That's cool.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's downtown. It can be a little bit dicey, but whatever. I mean, it's a fucking city.
Go check out the tunnels, the Shanghai tunnels.
I went to a show at the Shanghai Tunnel Bar Sunday night. But that's tourist. I need more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, just, you know, if you were telling your buddy from out of town, you know, he's in town for one night, you know, and assume he's got similar interests as you.
Well, I mean, it's known for the naked lady bars here, but I don't know are you into the naked ladies? Did you come with a lady who's going to be naked for you later anyway, and you don't want to step on that? Otherwise, lots of naked lady bars. To be honest, they're quite fun. They're not the creepy one. They're fun. Everybody's having a good time in there. Those you're going to want, Sassy's or Mary's, are the main ones for the fun naked lady bars. I think they might have a show at Al's Den, which is the bar that's downstairs across from Mary's Club in a little tiny spot. Otherwise, like I said, if you want to get a rental bike, a lot of great bike paths and bike routes through the city so you can get around via bike. Relatively safely with the bike paths and bike lanes they have, especially if it's going to be nice weather out. I don't know what kind of food you want. Go hit a food cart, hit the pods. That's where I'm going for lunch with my friends. So you can all have something you want because there's options and there's so many different pods in the city. Movie Madness, which I still have not gone to, and I need to be better about it. It's a video store with like curated selection. I need to be better about going, like making more of a pointed effort to rent movies, go to see the movies, mm-hmm. like go out to movies and stuff. Outdoor stuff, Laurelhurst Park, the waterfront downtown. I fucking know, man. You got to be more specific.
Well, no, you threw some good recommendations out there. So, yeah.
Look up the cycle, I think. Look up Pedalpalooza or Cycle PDX. They have different themed bike nights all summer, so you could just rent one of the bikes and join. You don't have to go with the theme, but it's just an excuse to participate and do something fun. They kind of bar hop with it. But yeah, I don't know. It's been awesome. Even being crippled all summer, I've still got to do fun stuff. So,
well, hell yeah, man. 323-364-1541. That's our number.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a call or text anytime. We'll get to more in future episodes. I know you got a hard out here coming up.
Yeah.
Record of the week, real quick. I got two this week. My jazz recommendation this week, great album that I just discovered, even though it's about 60 years old. Duke Pearson, piano player Duke Pearson, great album called The Phantom. If you're into some piano, a little flute, and a little vibraphone, check out Duke Pearson, The Phantom. Incredible vibes. That title track, the number one, the first song on the album, just such a fun listen. So Duke Pearson, The Phantom, and then finally a non-jazz music recommendation. One of my favorite bands from the 90s that never got enough credit. Big fan of Dinosaur Jr.
3 Days Grace.
They got a new album coming out Friday, and two songs are available to stream now, and they both are incredible.
Hell yeah!
The album's called They're Near, THERE, little play there. They're Near. It's out Friday. Dinosaur Jr. A little less noisy than they used to be. A little more melodic.
Okay.
So,
I love me some Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah, and this new album is, at least the two songs that I've heard, are just really good. Like really catchy. Like, you know, if grungy guitar rock, you know, had really good pop sensibilities. I would say that's probably what they're doing there on the new Dinosaur Jr. album. Really good shit.
I'm gonna put that on the car on the way to lunch. I looked up Tiki Lounges. I can't believe I forgot about the Alibi Tiki Lounge. It's a nightly karaoke, and it's
and they'll vouch for your whereabouts.
They where were you? Yeah, don't worry, just tell them. It's karaoke, it's tiki drinks, it's very sticky inside. It's like a dive bar tiki lounge. The other one's like a good date, kind of like, oh, I'm getting this fun drink. This Alibi, kind of scummy, pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I love a tiki drink.
Tiki drink with, like, people singing karaoke, but you're tiki drunk? It's a good combo.
What was that tiki bar in Los Feliz that it was next to the theater there? Right on Hillhurst.
The Good Luck Bar.
Good Luck Bar.
Almost more of a... Oh, and there's the Driftwood Room also, which is kind of a cocktail lounge. Went on a date there once. It was cool. Good Luck Bar. I was talking to Rachel. She said she was there for like a work, wherever she worked. I don't want to light up her spot. They're looking at that as a potential property for where she's working at now, and I guess she went in there, and it's abandoned, but it's like, oh, clearly homeless people have been sleeping in there. It was such a fun, there was good dive bars.
Yeah.
And then, wow, what am I going to get worked up over it? I want to say, first off, that your recommendation, a lot of Dukes in jazz.
Yeah, yeah. Duke Pearson, Duke Ellington, Jordan.
It's a good name. Put it back in the mix. We got enough Bradens and Cadens. Put out some Dukes.
Duke. Yeah, it is a good name.
And then, oh, man, one of my favorite bands put out a new album. Tesla. It's an album of covers. Skip it. Yikes.
Imagine that.
I mean, even for like, all right, it's a cover album, and it's like Tesla's a good, like, oh, what, did somebody go through another divorce? What did you do this for? This is not even.
I told you this was a good idea.
This is not, you're not even putting the effort in. I don't even think you're all in the studio at the same time. It bummed me out, man. So, anyway, that's my review of that.
It sounds like a bummer.
Yeah, it was.
All right, buddy. Well, good times, man. Hey, I'm glad you're up and about.
We're getting there, slowly but surely.
Get out there and live your life, buddy.
It's going to happen, man. I'm going to walk up my stairs right now. Slowly.
You know. I'm
going to go eat some recalled food.
All right, buddy. Yeah, might as well. Well, you keep fighting the good fight, buddy. And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Fuck Trump. Fuck ICE. Resist.
Yeah.
Rage Against the Machine. Fuck the Man. All that shit.
Give Dave his spoons back.
That's right. Stop throwing towels.
Maybe it was ICE. Maybe they were little Mexican spoons. Just trying to work, but not documented. ICE came in, took your little Mexican spoons.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, look forward to what happens next time in Dave and Katie's House of not quite horrors, but peculiarities.
Yeah. Yeah. keeps it interesting, if nothing else.
The Stoneberg's home of quizzical happenings.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Bye.
Okay, thank you.